So what does this mean for us? Su Kunpiao asked. Zhang Hansan and his premier had been watching CNN. I've read the North Atlantic Treaty. Articles 5 and 6 limit its military application to events in Europe and North America only. Otherwise, the NATO countries would have been compelled to join in the Korean War and Vietnam on the American side. Those things did not happen because the treaty did not apply outside its defined area. Nor does it apply to us. The purpose of this treaty might be to frighten us, but even if they wish to provide military assistance to Russia, they do not have the ability to do so. Then why did they just broaden NATO? Su demanded. Is it not obvious? Russia is becoming rich with oil and gold, and the capitalist states wish to partake in the Russians' good fortune. You are confident that our plans have not been compromised. Dan and Marshal Luo are confident as well. Very well, Su said, not entirely persuaded, but agreeing even so. They waited for Sorgi, and rarely had anyone waited more expectantly, even for a firstborn child. You've got mail, the electronic voice announced. MP lifted her phone. Please have Dr. Sears come up right away, she told her secretary. Joshua Sears was in the elevator in under a minute, and then in the office. Here, Mary Pat said, handing over the pages. Take a seat. Sears started his translation. This isn't good news. They're still on the warpath. Okay, Robbie Jackson asked the people assembled in the White House Situation Room. They won't back off? Can the Russians stop them? General Moore took the question. The Chinese have a lot of combat power to unleash. The Russians have a lot of room to absorb it, but not the combat power to repel it. It depends on what reinforcements we and the Russians can get into the theater. Logistics? A real problem. It all comes down one railway line. Does anybody know how to run an operation like that? Hell, we haven't done it since the Civil War, Jackson thought aloud. The Russians have doubtless thought it over many times. We'll depend on them for that. We can warn them when we start seeing preparations on our overheads, Ed Foley proposed. Mickey, when will we start seeing that? Conceivably 2 days, figure a week for him to get ramped up. And Ivan can't stop him? At the border, not a chance. They'll have to play for time. The Chinese have a hell of a long trip to get the oil. That's their weakness. A huge flank to protect and a god-awful, vulnerable logistics train. What can we send in? First thing, a lot of air assets. Fighters, fighter bombers, and every aerial tanker we can scrape up. We may not be able to establish air superiority, but we can quickly deny it to them. Westbound jet lag is always easier than eastbounds, and Jack had gotten sleep on the airplane. Jack went to the Situation Room rather than the Oval Office. Vice President Jackson was waiting for him there along with the usual suspects. Hey, Robbie, what's happening? Ain't good, buddy. We have Chinese mechanized troops heading for the Russian border. Here's what we got in from the National Reconnaissance Office. Jackson spread out the printouts from the photo intelligence troops. We got mechanized forces here, here, and here, and these are engineers with bridging equipment. Nothing from them over diplomatic channels? Bupkis, Ed Foley said. We're dealing with idiots. Well, let's see if they understand this. Scott, tell the PRC that if they attack into Russia, America will come to Russia's aid as required by the North Atlantic Treaty. And the NATO treaty doesn't actually say that, Adler warned. I say it does, Scott. And more to the point, I told the Russians it does. We can also alert our citizens to get the next bird out. It's 8:30 in the morning over there. Scott, that note has to be in their hands before lunch. What Adler had said to him on the flight back from Warsaw came back to him. If only America still had ballistic missiles, deterrence would have been far easier. But Ryan had played a role in eliminating the damned things, and it seemed a very strange thing for him to regret now. The people at the National Reconnaissance Office had the main tasking in finishing up a special national intelligence estimate because people tended to believe photographs more than mere words. The imagery was printed up and driven to the White House with a civilian analyst where people were sitting in the Oval Office pulling a presidential all-nighter. Okay, what do we have here? The president asked. Sir, this is as many armored vehicles in one area as I have ever seen in China, plus all their equipment. They are going north, and soon, in less than 3 days, I'd say. What about air? Jackson asked. Right here, sir. Dedicated fighter base at Jingji is a good example. You will note missile noses peeking out under the wings of all these aircraft. They appear to be loaded for combat. If this goes, what are our plans like? Van Damme asked. Hyperwar, Moore answered. The world doesn't know the new weapons we've been developing. It'll make Desert Storm look like slow motion. While others were pulling all-nighters, Gennady Yosefovich Bondarenko was forgetting what sleep was supposed to have been. Comrade Colonel! Heads turned. It was a young sergeant with an armful of large-format photographs. Here, quickly. The sergeant laid them on the table, blanking out the topographical maps that had occupied the previous 4 hours. The intelligence officer, Vladimir Konstantinovich Tolkunov, was the first to make sense of it all. Here they come. That's a complete tank division, and it's right, he turned back to the printed map, right here. Their marshalling point is Harbin. Well, it had to be. All their rail lines converge there. Their first objective will be Belogorsk. And right up the valley from there, Bondarenko agreed. Through this pass, then northwest. The 265th Motor Rifle was 100 kilometers back from the border. What an ambush we could lay if we only had the men, Tolkunov breathed.